Theme verse for this 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let there be light in darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so that we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And it makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. And so this morning, as we have been sharing and reading this verse, we're going to look at it through Pentecost, through keeping Pentecost going, through jar of clay, our theme, but also adding a word today, and that is valuable. Valuable. To see this scripture, to see our theme, to see today, to see our life through the word of the word, valuable. What is valuable? Valuable is a significant worth, importance, money, things, commanding a high price, information, advice, skills, highly beneficial qualities, connections, good friends, to be respected. There are certain things in the world that are expensive. I don't know if you know, but the cost that people are spending to build a space station is $150 billion. $150 billion to build and design. I don't know if you ever heard of this word. This is lovely. How about antimatter? Do you know that antimatter costs $62.5 trillion per gram to produce? Antimatter, $62.5 trillion per gram to produce. What is an antimatter? It's the mirror image of ordinary matter. Every particle of normal matter has a corresponding antimatter twin that has the same mass, but opposite electrical charge and magnetic properties. When matter and antimatter meet, they destroy each other in pure burst of pure energy. Cosmic rays slamming into the Earth's upper atmosphere constantly produce tiny amounts of antimatter. Bananas, I don't know if you like bananas, bananas produce antimatter. One positron every 75 minutes. Bananas produce antimatter. One positron every 75 minutes. Space station, $150 billion to produce antimatter, $62.5 trillion per gram. Those things are kind of expensive. Houses, cars, kind of expensive at times. They carry value, right? But nothing compares to the value of something else. I would say the value of family. Missing Shiloh because she was at a graduation party, but the rest of the family yesterday at the beach. Having and owning and building a space station, wow, that'd be super cool, right? Having, owning the rights to antimatter, $62.5 trillion per gram, super cool. Having a house, cars to drive, super amazing. But you know what? At the end of the day, if there's not people that you love and care for on a daily basis, defining truly what value is. God, is He so consumed with things that we have built and put together? Is He going to say to people, wow, great job, I'm glad you put that space station together? Or is God going to say, I love you, I care for you, I'm proud what you did and how you helped other people? Does He care that we create things and create a name for ourselves and create big bank accounts? Does He care what kind of cars we drive? No. God knows the importance of value, and value is what? Value is in the people. Value is in the people. It is in us. And so as we break down our beginning scripture this morning, first thing that Paul says, a light shining in our hearts. And remember today, through our theme, Jars of Clay, we are talking about understanding and seeing it through the word of valuable. Jesus is, John 8:12, defined as the light of the world. If you follow me, Jesus said, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. Paul in the scripture said, let there be, it's God who said, let there be light in darkness, and had made this light to shine our hearts. How valuable is light to us? Well, if we constantly lived in darkness, if it was dark 24/7, if we could not see anything in front of us, if you could not see your wife, if you could not see your husband, your kids, if you couldn't see your lovely fluffy dogs or kitties, if you couldn't see anything else in life because it was constantly dark, how horrible, how tragic would it be? But we don't have to, because we have a thing called light. God created light. God created light for what? For us to see. How valuable is light? Life is learning to value the things that God has given to us. And sometimes, if we're honest, we don't even sometimes appreciate light, because many times for us as humans, there's a lot of things we don't appreciate. We lose along the way. There's things and people and things and people that we lose the feeling of appreciating the people and the things that are around our life. How valuable is life? Jesus said, remember, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. You know, light is a narrow band of electromagnetic spectrum, a particle traveling at constant speed at 186,000 miles per second. For those who like to drive their cars really fast, light is traveling fast. And it sounds so fun, right? 186,000 miles per second. 670 million miles per year. Jesus, he said, I'm the light of the world. So imagine, he's traveling constantly at light speed to what? To bring illumination to our heart, to our mind, and our soul. Jesus is the light that shines down from heaven, shining truth, shining love. Jesus shining down peace. Jesus shining down hope. Jesus bringing light so that we do not have to live in darkness. People who don't understand, God works miracles. But if you don't believe in miracles, that means that you are ignorant or dark to the things of God. God believes in provision. If we don't believe that God will provide for us, then we're being ignorant that God wants to provide. If we don't believe in deliverance, that God delivers people from sickness and demons and yucky things, then we're being ignorant to certain things of God. There are so many different levels and layers, just like to all of us in here this morning. We're wonderful, we're amazing, we're people of layers, right? Just like God. God has so many different layers. But to be ignorant of the things and the character of God or aspect of God is to be ignorant or to be in the dark. Jesus comes to bring light to every situation so we can see. Paul secondly says, so that the glory of God can be seen in Jesus Christ. The glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. I love Colossians 1:15 that says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created. He's supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in heavenly realms and on the earth. He made things we can see and things we can't see. Thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus existed before everything else, and he holds creation together. Have you ever said or heard it said, who's God? What is God? What would God look like? Well, Colossians just described what he looked like. He would look like Jesus. He's a visible representation of the Father himself. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. What would God dress like? Well, he dressed like what Jesus did back in the day. What would he wear? Who would he be? Who would he hang out with? All the things and all the questions that people want to know, you can find in Jesus Christ. The glory of God seen in Jesus Christ. Who is God? Who is God? What's he look like? What would he be doing today? You can see through the eyes of Jesus. Colossians 1:18 says, Christ, he's the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. God is first in everything. God in his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. God in his fullness pleased to live in Christ. Through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were enemies of God, separated because evil thoughts and evil actions. Secondly, Paul describes in being this jar of clay to understand the light, to understand the glory of God that's seen in Jesus. Everything revolving around Jesus and all that God did. Third thing he points out is to have this light. It's one thing to know about the light. It's one thing to know about the light. It's one thing to know about the light. It's another thing to have the light. It's one thing to know. It's another thing to have. Many people know there's a God, but they're not sure which one to follow. Many people know what they should do, but yet how many people make the wrong choices? Many people know what to do, where to go, but we still screw up. And so to have this light, to open the door, to open our hearts to Jesus Christ, to truly become, as Paul described, a fragile jar of clay. And what does it mean to become this fragile jar of clay? It means understanding we're all given vessels. We're all given a container, which is what? Our human bodies. And the importance of understanding I'm a vessel. I'm a container. It's wonderful. It's great. But more than just understanding what I have is who I have. Every single day, every single morning, to understand it's not what I have. It's not what God's given me. It's not just trying to improve what I have. It's not just trying to fix what I have, but it's getting to know who. And that's God. And Paul described it as this. I love. It is a great power. It is this great treasure that is to be a jar of clay. Jesus described treasure, Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye, it acts like a lamp. It provides light for your body. But when your eyes are bad, when your eyes are good, your whole body is going to be good. But when your eyes are bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. What you treasure shows where your heart will be. Paul describing this fragile clay jar is to understand the great treasure that you can be consumed with and filled with. And what we treasure is what we fill ourselves with. If I love to go off-roading, and I do, but it's not something I go and do every single day, even though my vehicle is four-wheel drive, yeah, I like to go play in the dirt. Yeah, I like to go kick up some sand. Yes, I like to drive through the mud. Yes, I like to drive through any kind of river or anything I can go through. Yes, I'd love to go play in the snow because I like it. It's nice. It's fun. I like going to the beach. Many of us like going to the beach. But it doesn't mean that the beach doesn't mean that the car defines me or my treasure. But how many people live for the beach? How many people live for what they drive? because it's their treasure. And then this morning, as we go through these, remember, it's seeing jars of clay. It's seeing this theme through the word valuable. And what is truly valuable to me? What is truly valuable to you this morning? Because it's where your treasure is, it's where your heart is. God says he searches the whole earth looking for hearts that are fully dedicated to him. If you're giving God part of your heart, just passes right by. If you're giving God half a heart, passes right by. He's looking for hearts that are fully dedicated to him. The understanding to be possessed, not with demons, not with darkness, but with a treasure, the power of God. Where our treasure is, our heart will be also. Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven can be, it is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again. He sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field. Again, kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, what? He sold everything and he bought it. The light of the world, the light that God brings every single day, is to see what a real treasure is, to see who the real treasure is first. And that is God. That is God. It's God who is a treasure. If we live for ourselves, if we live for the things of this world, if we live for space stations, if we live for antimatter, if we live for houses and cars, if we live for the beach, if we live for all those things, everything is going to get burned up. Everything's going to be destroyed. The only thing that's going to be remaining, those who know God and those who live for God. To see Jesus, to see the kingdom of heaven, it's a treasure. This power of God, Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. How many of us have things in life and at different times we know we want? January, a lot of people, it's time to diet and exercise, right? They know what they want. They're going to try for it. They're going to shoot for it. Kids who are graduating high school, they're either aiming for college or work or to disappear and go to the beach, right? Not all three, those are all good choices, right? But what amazes us sometimes, if God gives the Holy Spirit, who says he fills us with power, fills us with peace, patience, kindness, love. He's a counselor. He's an advocate, so he fights for us, he stands for us. He speaks to us, he leads us, he guides us, he reminds us. He'll save us from trouble, use us to heal other people, to be part of miracles, to see greatness, to see the Holy Spirit. If he has all these things, if the Holy Spirit is here to empower me and give me strength beyond myself, not to go and lift up a car and throw it. Of course, that would be fun. Not to be full of the Holy Spirit and shoot laser beams from my eyes, which that would be fun as well. This Holy Spirit could empower me to be strong, to have knowledge that is unattainable by a human. God giving words about other people, about the future. The Holy Spirit that can stop me from getting a speeding ticket. The Holy Spirit that can stop me from a car accident. The Holy Spirit that can stop me from making the worst mistake of my life. The Holy Spirit that can give and flow through my body to be part of a miracle for me or somebody else. If this Holy Spirit offers so much, why, as a vessel and a container, sometimes do we neglect to be filled with the greatest thing, the greatest treasure, and the greatest power that God has for us? Because we want to live and have fun. We want to live and be entertained. We want to listen to music. We want to watch movies. And I'm not saying that's bad. We want to watch. We want to read. We need excitement. We need to go here. We need to go there. We got to do this. We got to accomplish this. We got to make money. All of those things. Not saying any of them are bad. But if not the Holy Spirit, if he's not on top of our list every single day, we're missing it. Because the Holy Spirit has everything we need. Now, truthfully, when you first meet somebody, many of us know that when you first meet somebody, there are some people who are more talkative than others. Sometimes you can meet someone, in the first couple minutes, you notice, wow, they're pretty talkative. And after 5 minutes, you're like, okay, is he going to shut up, right? Other people, they're a little bit more reserved. But most of us, when we meet someone, you are not going to fully know their life in one encounter. The Holy Spirit, are you going to know the Holy Spirit in a short encounter once a week at church in 30 minutes? No, it takes multiple minutes, seeking, looking, asking, God, fill me, help me to understand, lead me by the Holy Spirit. Someone up here is a pastor. Does being a pastor mean that we're a pastor because we like to talk? No. Does being a pastor mean that we come up here because we want to show off what kind of clothes we wear for the week? No. To me, honestly, a pastor is someone who's taken the time simply just to listen to the call that God has. Just to listen. There's nothing else. It's simply to listen and hear. God is constantly speaking. God is constantly offering his Holy Spirit to us every single day. Just not everyone takes him up on what he is saying. The power of God, the advice of God, the wisdom of God, the money of God, the healing of God, the miracles of God available to every single person. But it takes listening. It takes active listening. God, help me to learn how to be a container, a vessel holding truly you, this great treasure and power that comes from above. How do we perceive ourselves this morning as a vessel and container? Well, it's evident in how we take care of ourselves. How we dress. Do we brush our teeth? Do we clean up? Right? How do we perceive the value? Our word today is valuable. How do we perceive the value of what we've been given? Well, it's in what? It's how we take care of ourselves. It's in how we walk. It's in how we talk. Do we show that we have respect for the bodies, the vessels, and containers that God has given to us by how we take care of ourselves? Now, some people, we know all of us and everything, sometimes people take things way too far. Right? And so being a vessel and a container, some people fall in love with themselves and it's all they think about. I love me. Ah, I just love everything about me. I'm so sweet. I'm so wonderful. I'm so kind. I'm so handsome. And so people fall in love and they become their own idol. And we know that what's going to happen to idols, they're all going to be broken down. They're all going to be smashed. But to understand this morning, a vessel, a body, a human body that God has given to us, it's understanding the value in what he's given us. The value in what he's given. And the true power is, what do we allow to fill these lovely containers? To look, to seek, to understand, and to be filled with the power of God. And so with that, we're going to Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. So we got about another hour of good, solid Bible here. Just kidding. Acts 3, 1. This is to continue on in Pentecost. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man who was crippled or lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put aside to the temple gate, the one called Beautiful, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." So the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you. I don't have any silver or gold for you. But what I have, I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Get up and walk." Peter took the lame man by the right hand. He helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and his ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up. He stood on his feet. He began to walk. Then walking, leaping, praising God, he went in the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and praising. So I'm walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar that he had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. And so we had two men, two individuals, Peter and John. They were going to the temple. They were going to church to what? They were going to pray. They had a purpose. They had a plan. They had a vision. They wanted to be filled by God. They wanted to be refreshed in prayer. They were busy on their way to do something. But how many of us have seen sometimes, no matter how busy we are, sometimes God stops us in our tracks for what? A divine appointment. And here John and Peter have this divine appointment because there's so many things that happen while we're on the way. Here's Peter and John who run into a lost, broken soul. Confronted a moment of truth and light. Do we stop or do we keep going? We know that the man in this story, he was lame or crippled from birth, and he was now around 40 years old. So he had 40 years of living, being damaged and crippled. From birth, he wasn't whole, he wasn't healthy, he was a damaged soul. The Bible says that in our text that he was carried every single day. Do you know sometimes, how many of us have seen, we can make mistakes all by ourselves? We can get ourselves into trouble, sometimes we get ourselves out of trouble, but how many of us have seen this morning that, like in here, this man was crippled for 40 years and he had friends who carried him every single day. That most of us, when we get into trouble, we have people who carry and help enable us to remain in darkness. These men, this man had people who carried him crippled, damaged every single day. Oh, how'd they get it up there again? They had people. Doesn't want to go away. They had people every single day carry him. And I want to think about this from a spiritual point of view. Many of us at any minute can get stuck emotionally. And how does that, or what does that look like? That means that emotionally, there's one thing, a feeling, a desire that becomes so strong and powerful, there's nothing else in life other than this one emotion. There's men and women, they get stuck mentally with a thought that is reoccurring. It's like on repeat. And this thought keeps going back over and 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 over again. And so everywhere we go, there's people who have repeat thoughts that aren't exactly good, negative, full of fear, could be hate, could be lust, over and over and over again. It's driving them. Or there could be a feeling or emotion, a desire, something that is wanted or thinks that is needed, that it is the driving force in their life. And so what does someone who's stuck mentally or emotionally do? They look for people who help enable them to stay in their stuck emotion or their stuck mental thought. This man, it happens naturally. You know what's so fascinating about human nature? people. Like if you go to high school, kids who dress in black, you know what they do? They hang out with other kids who what? Dress in black. Kids who play sports, 90% of them, what do? They hang out with kids who play sports. Naturally, somehow as humanity, we somehow join circles of people to where we feel comfortable being next to. Being crippled, being a beggar for 40 years, this man had people in his life who enabled him to stay where he was. And some of us in here this morning, there are people who have enabled us at weak times, to do things that we shouldn't do because they were our friends, they were family members. And instead of maybe confronting, instead of giving us the truth, they enabled us to become more crippled. And instead of hearing the truth, this man was carried every single day, 40 years. And it's sad because you have someone who's crippled, you have someone who's broken. And what did they do? They took him and they plopped him in front of the church for everybody to see. Look at me, I'm broken, I'm damaged. Here I am, I'm broken, I'm damaged. And there was only one thing that he learned how to do in his life. You know what it was? To beg for money. You know, Matthew 18:6 says, if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. What sorrow awaits? Because it tempts people to sin. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting. This story, there was healing, there was a miracle, there was deliverance, there was power, there's all these things. And it wasn't because of the crippled man, it wasn't because of his friends, it was because of God working in Peter. God working in Peter simply because he listened. He listened. That's it. But the other men, what did they do for 40 years? They enabled their friend to get worse. What did Jesus say? If you enable someone to sin, oh, he said what? Woe to you. It would be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and what? Be drowned into the sea. Don't be an enabler for someone to sin. Don't become someone who enables somebody. If you talk with somebody and there's a moment of vulnerability where they're struggling, they're having a hard time, don't tell them, yes, I understand, I've been there before, just do whatever feels right. No, we shouldn't do whatever feels right. We need to do what God says. We need to do his word. We need to follow his word. Don't enable someone to screw up their life. Is it okay to tell people, make mistakes? No. Because you don't know the next mistake, it could destroy their whole entire life. Yes, all of us in here, we've made mistakes. And we might make another one in our lifetime. But it's never okay to tell someone to sin. Because if you do, Jesus said, woe to you. Don't be the enabler. Don't be that person. This man spent a life of begging. I have to beg. It's the only thing I know how to do. It's the only thing I know how to do. Because of my past, because it's what I was born with, I'm not normal. You know how many people make that excuse today? This is what I was born with. I'm not normal. He was crippled. He was a beggar. So what did he do with his life? I'll spend it begging from others. It's what he learned. Or it's what he said, hey, it's just in my human nature. It's just what I'm feeling. It's just what I'm comfortable with. How many people are living by these words? It's my past. It's what I was born with. It's what I'm comfortable with. It's my life. It's my family situation. I deserve to beg. Beg, 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 beg. Can I have some money? I love what Peter said to the man. He said, listen, look at me. Silver and gold I have, but not for you. Not for you. Silver and gold I have. I have it, but it's not for you. It says he looked at him intently, and we know that that word intently, it means that Peter was centered and focused intently on looking at this man. And so as Peter stopped, because this man caught his attention, What happened? In that moment, he saw through the darkness of this man. He saw through the lies in his head. He saw that this man probably told himself, I'm a failure. I'm crippled. I'm a nobody. Peter, as he stopped and looked intently, I guarantee Peter was seeing through something. How many of us remember the story? Jesus talking about scattering seeds in the ground. And he says, the farmer went out to scatter his seeds, which is the word of God, Jesus said. And he said, as soon as that farmer scatters seeds, there's birds that come and eat it up. Jesus says, those birds are the devil and his demons. Soon as the word of God gets spoken, the devil's there saying, that ain't true. That's not for you. That's probably for somebody else, but it ain't for you. That's good for somebody else, but it ain't for you. Soon as truth is spoken, as soon as the word of God is spoken, the first thing is Satan and the devil, the demons, are trying to rip that truth out of your head. And then Jesus said, as a farmer plants seeds, some seeds fell around, fall on what? Rocky ground. And they have a hard time growing. Some seeds get thrown around what? Thorns. And it says the seeds get choked out by thorns, the worries and cares of this life. So now if we take a step back and we're looking through Peter, through his eyes in this minute, what did he have to do as he looked at the man intently? He pulled away the lies, devil, Satan, the demon. What did he do? He picked up the rocks and he moved them away from this man's heart. And then he tore and then he pulled out the thorns. So what? So the man's heart was ready to receive truth. He looked intently, and looking intently, Peter spiritually, he did some crazy things. He saw through the lies. He saw through the rocks. He saw through the weeds, and then he speaks the truth. I have silver and gold. It's just not for you. I have silver and gold, but it's not for you. He said, look at me. Look at us. What do you think? What do you see? It says that the guy, as he's looking at Peter and John, what did he do? He started to get excited. Why? Because you know what? He thought Peter and John were going to give him some money. Hey, these guys are weak. They're going to cave in like everybody else. They're going to open up that wallet. They're going to pass me some cash. These guys are like everybody else. They're going to do just like everybody else and what they've done. Peter said, listen, I don't have silver and gold for you, but what I do have is what? Jesus. Remember our word for today is what? Value. What did Peter value most? It's obvious, Jesus. So everywhere he went and everything that he did, what treasure did he want to share? Jesus. Yes, I have money, but it doesn't mean I have to give it to you. I'll give you what's more important to me. Money is not important to me. It doesn't drive my world. Money doesn't make the world go round. You know what it does? Jesus. If you read Colossians, it says the world was made through Jesus, for Jesus. Jesus is holding the world together. What should be driving our world every single day? Jesus. Not silver or gold. Not fame. Not money. Not all the things that we see, inventions and creativity and all that stuff. They're nice to enjoy. But what is the greatest thing that we have to offer somebody? Like Peter. Silver and gold, I got it. But I'm going to give you what I value. What I value is Jesus. Jesus is here. And he says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. But you know what I find fascinating about the last part? He said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. But did he? He didn't. He didn't get up and walk instantly. What did Peter have to do? He grabbed him by the right hand, and then he had to help him up. Sometimes you can pray and say in the name of Jesus, and things can happen. There's other times where you got to give it the right hand, and you got to pull him up. The man didn't have enough faith yet to believe in the healing. Why? Because he was stuck begging for 40 years of his life. Some people are stuck in such bad negativity in their head. They will not get a miracle. They're not going to get healed. They're not going to be provided for because there's so much junk in the trunk. There's so much stuff in the head. It can't get through. Peter said in the name of Jesus, get up. But he didn't. So what did he have to do? He had to help him up. And soon as he helped him up, the man began to see. And then he says he's instantly healed. Sometimes we got to help someone's faith get along so they can receive their miracle. It's always the name of Jesus. Everything happens in the name of Jesus. But there's other times where we have to take it a step further. There's a time where Jesus prayed for a blind man. Prayed for him. Nothing happened. What did he do? He did it again. Until the man saw. It's faith that changes the world. It's faith that causes miracles. But just because we say it doesn't mean we believe it. Just because we say it doesn't mean the other person who's supposed to receive that they believe it. It's got to be both sides. It takes faith to change the world. In the name of Jesus, it wasn't money he healed him. It wasn't possessions that healed him. It wasn't family or friends. It wasn't doctors or counselors that made this crippled man well. It's only one thing, and it is Jesus. It is Jesus. So, got one closing verse, and then we're going to wrap it up. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this, and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him up. They left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, what did he do? He crossed to the other side on the road, and he passed him by. Then a despised Samaritan. Oh, I think I skipped a part. Yep. A despised Samaritan came along, and he saw the man. He felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil, wine, bandaged him. He put the man on his donkey. He took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'm going to pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three you would say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, yes, now go do the same. And so as we take off our, if you're wearing it, your jars of clay bracelet for a second, take it off. You're going to hold it up and you're going to look at it. As you hold your jars of clay bracelet, last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. Today, jars of clay Sunday. Through the word, what? Valuable. What is valuable? Pentecost Sunday, the next Sunday, Pentecost, it's understanding the Spirit of God came down from heaven. It filled the disciples, and then it empowered them to what? Do something great. Jars of clay. Paul says, we're fragile. We're a clay jar, which the thing that you're holding, all the little pieces, they're made from clay pieces. This is a reminder every day. I am a great vessel. I am a great container. But what makes me great? It's not my clothes. It's not my hair. It's not my teeth. It's not my looks. What makes me a great container is that I've simply chosen to be filled with God. I've simply chosen to be filled with God to remind myself, one, the greatest commandment that Jesus said, what? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, with everything you have. Secondly, loving humanity, loving people like we love ourselves. And the man needed a picture. The man needed a description. How do I love other people like I love myself? And so Jesus goes on and he tells him the story. There was a priest and there was a temple worker. They looked at someone who was damaged, and what did they do? They kept on walking by. But a Samaritan, hated, despised, sees somebody who's hurt, sees somebody who's broken. He stops and has pity. He spent money. He spent time. He spent energy. Jesus, how do we see? How do we know value? Remember, love God with all my heart, mind, soul, strength, everything I have. Every day, what do I need to do? Love people like I love myself. But what kind of people? What kind of people? God puts the unlovable kind of people in our way. The Samaritan, the hated. Who does God want me to help? People who I probably don't want to help. People who I probably don't want to care for. People who probably bother me. People who maybe I kind of really don't like them at all. Those are the people that show the value and understanding of our heart. Do we get what it means to be a jar of clay? Everything in life comes simply down to this. We're all containers. We're all vessels. We're all jars of clay. The value is shown in what we put in these containers. Do we have God? Most of us in here, yeah, we have God. Some of us, though, maybe little God, a little bit of God's word. To experience. If God uses you to walk by someone who's crippled for 40 years and you pray for them and you see them get healed instantly, what would that moment feel like for you? What would it look like for you? If you walk up to someone and God downloads and gives their name to you, their age, their occupation, and then tells you a very specific word, and you say that to them, and they flip out and freak out, and they ask you why, and you say, I don't know, God just gave this to me. What's that going to do for the situation? Because you value the Holy Spirit and to be used by the Holy Spirit. There is something in that value greater than what we possess in our house and cars and our clothes. There's something to be valued more than anything. It's to be filled and consumed with the power of God. Is this something we look for? Yes. Is this something we should be asking for? Absolutely. Is it going to happen in 1 second? No. It takes multiple encounters of growing and learning. How do I be filled, God, by your Spirit? We're going to pray. I'm going to put a closing song on there, and we will be dismissed this morning.